Good evening and hello. Almost said good morning, so I had to catch myself there. That's what normally comes out. But we're really happy to be here. As John said, I am Pastor Karen. I'm from Life Path Church in Medford, and that's my husband, Rick. And we're happy that we got here because I was so worried when I made this commitment what the roads were going to be like, but they were just great. I thought, gosh, if I had to come a couple weeks ago, I would have been with a sleigh and horse or something like that to get over. So I'm glad we got here. It's the little things, I guess. And another little thing, I'll just tell you a little tidbit, fun fact. I like fun facts. Did you know that today, January 16th, is National Do Nothing Day? Yes. So if you took your Nazarene nap today, it was legit. You were okay. And if you don't feel like cooking dinner later or doing anything else, that's okay. And if anybody says anything, you say, Pastor Karen said it was okay. So you guys don't have my cell phone number, so I can say that. So. Anyway, I guess we should get to business, huh? So I want to pray really quick, and then we'll get to the message. Okay, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time to be together today, to learn about you and to dive into your world, into your word. Lord, I pray your Holy Spirit fills this room and also touches each and every heart in this room. I pray that you bless everyone by speaking something to each person here today. Lord, we love you and we want to serve you, and it's in your Son Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen. So my grandma was one of my most favorite people in the whole world. She was a little feisty Italian woman, and she would kind of smack you upside the head, or she all muddled and just come and give you a great big hug. She had the best hugs, made the best meatballs you ever had. And another fun fact, with me and my fun facts, her family came from Italy in the late 1800s on a ship called the USS Oregon. And I think that is so cool because it's like I came full circle. So that's really cool. And Grandma had a lot of sayings. No matter what your situation was, she had a saying for it. And a lot of them were kind of weird when she said them, when we would look at her and like, what? It doesn't even make sense. And she would laugh and just say, oh, it rhymes in Italian. That was her famous thing. So in our family, if anybody was talking about something we didn't know what they were saying, that was the line we go, oh, well, it rhymes in Italian. So that'll be my go-to tonight. If I say something that doesn't make sense, I'm just going to tell you it rhymes in Italian. So, and Grandma always had really good advice. And she surprised me because when I was a teenager and I would go to her with all my lovelorn tragedies, she always made sense. She knew what to say. And I remember one time when I was a teenager, I said to her, Grandma, how do you know so much about boys? You dated in like 1920. I mean, things had to be different. And she'd laugh and say, oh, you know what? Boys are the same. Just the hair and the clothes have changed. That's about it. And I think she's probably right. But one piece of advice that she gave me that I always took to heart was about communication. She always told me that was just one of the most important things in a relationship, and not just between a husband and wife, between any relationship, your friends, your coworkers, your kids, and even the butcher. You don't go into a butcher and say, hey, I want a steak. You have to, you know, do you want a sirloin? Do you want a, you know, a T-bone? Do you want 1 inch, 2 inch? You know, you have to let your needs be known, communicate so you can get what you need. So as I said, I took this to heart. And when the kids were younger, Rick and I would come home from work and we would go out on the back patio or we would go in our room and shut the door and we would sit in there for about 15 minutes. And we'd talk about our day, like, you know, did you pick up dog food or, you know, did you get to the bank today? And sometimes we would just kind of sit there and lean on each other. It's just in the silence. Just we did this to decompress and turn back into mom and dad mode and kind of make a plan and refresh in each other. Yeah, Rick used to tease me that he was going to buy me a license plate that said, hey, mom. Because when we came out of the bedroom, that's all I used to hear was, hey, mom, can so-and-so sleep over? Hey, mom, what's for dinner? Hey, mom, I need a dozen cupcakes for tomorrow. That sort of thing. But I really looked forward to this time with Rick because it felt like we were more of a team. We'd make a game plan. I'll start dinner. You help Andy with his homework. Or you do the dishes. I'll go take Damien to Cub Scouts. Or whatever the case may be. We made a plan. And communication is so important because it does put a plan in place. And it's no different than your relationship with God. And of course, how do we communicate with God? But through prayer. And it seems, though, these days that a lot of us kind of, well, we talk about prayer, but it's not really a natural thing, like walking or talking or eating. Sometimes it's just used like one of those boxes on the wall that says, you know, break in case of emergency, like a fire extinguisher. That's how people use prayer. So some talk about it by practice, but don't really put it to action, or they just toss that word prayer around or pray around just really nonchalantly. Like, as an example, have you ever met somebody up in a grocery store, even your coworker, and you talk to them and, oh, I'll pray for you, and then you just forget about it? I mean, I know I've done that myself, and I keep a little book in my purse now, so I write things down, so I really try to remember to pray for them later. Or even on Facebook, if you put, oh, prayers for the family, I'll pray for you, and then you just keep scrolling and you really don't. So now, if I ever write that, I really stop and I pray for that person. I don't just say it and go on. Because I really feel that prayer is one of the greatest gifts that God ever gave us. Next, you know, with salvation probably, of course, the top. And the Apostle Paul was someone who understood prayer and its power. Prayer was a part of Paul's life, and he just took for granted it would be a part of every Christian's life. Because you can't be a good Christian and not pray. I just want to say that one again. You can't be a good Christian and not pray, just like you can't have a good marriage or a good relationship with anyone if you don't talk to that person. Prayer is the pipeline between God and his people, between God and us, you know, everyone that he loves. So let me ask you a question. If you were driving on scary 140 and your car broke down or you ran out of gas or something, are you just going to call an acquaintance, somebody you only talk to on Christmas and Easter? Or are you going to call somebody that you really have a relationship with, that you know is always there to help you? Having a relationship is really important with God. And prayer strengthens our relationship with God. And that's what he wants most, is an intimate relationship with you. And just as Rick and I would sit and talk about our day and lean on each other, that's what God wants from you too. So how do you pray? Is there a wrong way? Is there a right way? Even the disciples didn't know how to pray. In Luke chapter 11, verse 1, when Jesus finished praying, one of the disciples came up to him and said, "Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples." So Jesus did. He taught them to keep God's name holy. He told them to ask for the kingdom to come to earth so we can all live in peace and love, and to let God's will be done here. And he told them to ask for basic needs, such as food. He told them to ask for relational needs by forgiving, and not just for God to forgive us, but for us to forgive others as well. He also told them to ask for help in their spiritual needs by avoiding sin and temptation, and for God to protect everyone from evil. And I'm sure, as you probably figured out, I just paraphrased the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6. And this is excellent instruction on how to pray. The Lord's Prayer gives us a good blueprint. It's kind of a blanket prayer, but it focuses on the three most important parts: the content, your persistence, and God's faithfulness. But what if you want to pray specifically for something or someone or some situation? There's many types of prayers and many ways to pray. I'll mention a couple, and then I'll just kind of give you some tips on how to keep your prayer life consistent, because consistent is really key. Have you ever heard of popcorn prayers? Mm-hmm. These are the prayers that just kind of pop up randomly during your day. Like if you're going to a doctor's appointment, you may say, "Oh God, I'm scared. Please be with me as I go into this appointment." Or if you're really happy about something, if you're at the birth of your grandchild, "Oh Lord, thank you for a healthy grandson." And these prayers are no less irrelevant. God hears you. In the last part of Paul's letter to Thessalonians, he gives a list of instructions. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, he tells us to pray without ceasing. And those three little words carry a life-changing message if you actually apply it. And this doesn't mean you have to stay on your knees all day and do nothing else, unless it's do nothing day, I guess, but you could do it, right? But in fact, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 7, Jesus tells us, when you pray, don't babble on repeating words and phrases. So praying passionately doesn't mean praying longer. You don't just, it doesn't really matter. Just get your words out and say what you need. You don't just have to pray longer and longer to think you're going to get better service, because it doesn't work that way. What I feel it means, praying without ceasing, is that God is ever present with us. He is always with us throughout the whole day. And we should be continually interacting with him as we go from task to task during the day. If you need help, you ask for assistance. If you're blessed, then you thank him. Hence the popcorn prayers. They just kind of pop up. It's kind of like being on the phone all day with God, just having him on speakerphone and never having to hang up. And I kind of like that analogy. So as I asked before, what do you do if you want to pray for someone specifically, but you don't really know how? So going back to the Lord's Prayer, it instructs us to pray for God's will to be done. Well, how do we know what God's will is? The Bible. This is how we know. Because the Bible is God's word, so it's God's will. And I'm going to share something with you that someone shared with me a long time ago, and I still use it to this day. If you interject someone's name, the person you want to pray for, in a scripture, you are praying God's will for them. And let me give you an example. So I'm going to read, and I think you have Ephesians chapter 3, verses 16 through 19 up here. Okay, so this is the verse as it is in the NIV Bible. And there is a person in my life that I know, and she kind of had a bad experience with church when she was young, and she doesn't believe all this stuff. She just said, God never did anything for me, so I don't do anything for him. And it breaks my heart, but you can't make somebody love God. That's his job. So I just pray for her. So her name's Mary, so I'm going to put her name in this verse, and I'm going to read it like how I would pray for her from this verse. It says, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen Mary with power through his spirit in her inner being. I pray that Christ may dwell in Mary's heart through faith. And I pray that she be rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and how long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And I pray she knows this love that surpasses knowledge, that she may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. So I'm praying for her, and I know it's in accordance with God's will because it comes from his word. And I'm not asking for Mary to win the lottery so she can buy me presents and we can go on trips. That would be my will, not God's will. So I know I am praying a proper prayer. And another example is from James chapter 1, verse 2 and 5. And this is something I pray for myself quite often. It's written down in my journal. But I pray it for me from this scripture. And don't let anybody ever tell you you can't pray for yourself, because you certainly can. You can ask God for anything. So for myself, I would read it this way. Oops. Lord, help me consider it pure joy when I face trials of many kinds. Help me remember that the testing of my faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work in me, so that I may be mature and complete and not lacking in anything. And if I lack wisdom, remind me to ask you, God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to me. So you get the idea. You can write this stuff down in your journal. It's the easiest way to know you're really praying God's will. And it's also a good way to keep yourself focused when you're praying. I know myself, when I sit down to pray, God. Oh, wait, did I take the chicken out? Do I even have chicken? Oh, I'm sorry, God. Okay, I'm back to it. Oh, gosh, did I give water to the dogs? I start going all over the place. That happens to me a lot. So the way I've combated that, one little trick, is I start writing in the margin of my journal or my devotional, like chicken or whatever. When I'm done, then I can go back to see everything, to remember everything I forgot. Because that happens. And another way to keep your prayer life focused is if you plan the prayer time with your calendar. Like on your friend's birthday or a family member's birthday or anniversary, specifically pray for that person. I love doing that, and then what I also do is I just write a little note to them, or in their birthday card, or just a note that I'm thinking of them, that I intentionally prayed for them. And I've gotten so much great feedback from that. People love to hear that they're being prayed for. I mean, who wouldn't want that? Or you can pick specific days to write in your calendar or planner. I'm old school, I still use a calendar. I know everybody uses phones these days, but I like the old calendar where I can write on it and see it. Just say, Mondays, I'll pray for my children. You know, Tuesdays, I will pray for my president. And Wednesdays, I will pray for, you know, my whatever. Just whatever you want to pray for, just write that down. And every day at the beginning of your quiet time, then you've prayed for something specific for someone. And remember, it doesn't have to be a religious or somber time. God just wants your company. And remember, too, that God's provision is daily. It's not all at once. So you can't just think you can pray on Sundays a couple of prayers and I'm good till next week. You know, it doesn't really work that way. He wants to communicate with you all week, every day. And it could be as simple as just taking a walk around the block. We call them praise walks. When you just, like, especially if you're in like just in a yucky mood, and you just take a praise walk, because you can't say thank you, God, for this and that and talk about your blessings and be grumpy still. It just can't, it's not possible. Or if you're in your car doing errands, I always say that my car is my chapel, and I talk to God like he is sitting next to me in the car, because he is, and he's my best friend, and I talk to him. And it's okay, you can tell him if you're mad or if you're sad or whatever. That's okay, because that's what you tell your friends, and he is your best friend. Or it can be first thing in the morning when you wake up. You open your eyes, you know, thank you, Lord, I got breath in my lungs, I am awake. You can ask for the tools to get through the day. You can ask for opportunities to share God with other people throughout the day. Make a cup of tea every day at 4 o'clock, and that's your time with God. It doesn't have to be a formal, let me get my devotional out and do it. You don't have to do that. Just carve out some time just with God. And I guess that's really one way you just pray without ceasing. Just always have him on your mind and just talk to him, you know, whenever you can. And on a personal note, my family is going through something with one of our children, my youngest son, and I don't know what's going to happen with this. My mama heart wants to fix everything, and I can't. I have no control over this situation, and really no one does. I mean, this could happen or this could happen. I don't know what the right thing is, so I had to surrender this to God. And all I can do is pray for the person that is causing a lot of the trouble. And I am praying for God's will to be done, whatever that may be. And it doesn't mean that I'm giving up or that I'm just resigning. And it doesn't mean I don't get mad, because sometimes I do feel like throttling the person that is making everything happen. But I can be mad for a minute. I can't live there. I can get it out. And then I say, I am sorry, God, I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have thought that. And then just kind of go from there, because we are human. We're allowed to do that. He made us. He knows that. So when I say, you know, Lord, your will be done, I am praying that God's perfect purpose will be accomplished in this situation. And I know it will. And actually, doing that takes a lot of pressure off of me and off of us when we do that. I might not understand what he's doing, but he knows what he's doing. And that's what I, by faith, I believe that. And I know it's going to be all right. I know it will, because he promised that he only has good in store for us. So please pray with me like Jesus taught us as we say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. So church, go in peace, and may his light shine on you and through you for everyone to see. Thank you.
Closing song, Jessica.
Now, one of mine.
Since we have time.